Hey everyone, I have big news finally. Transitus by me is now available to order. It is now a book. So welcome everyone to my podcast where I share my journey writing my first novel. And yeah, I've forgotten my intro, I'm sorry. But welcome and thanks for joining me. So yeah, I did it. There's a book. I have the book. I have a copy of the book and people are buying it. I don't know how many people and I don't know if they're going to like it, but well, I mean, that's the more important part than just a few people buying it is people actually liking it, talking about it and sharing it, reviewing, etc., etc. And of course, I chose the windiest day to record this podcast episode, and I'm sorry if there's a bunch of background noise. I will also very likely get winded. So yeah, this is it. The book is here, sharing my journey, writing my first novel. So like, that's the first novel. It's out and it's available. I feel like I still have a lot to learn, and I'm stuck with my current book, my next book, my second book, and I hope to get a little bit less stuck today, and we'll get into that in a moment. But let's talk about marketing. I am lucky enough to have an indie publisher who also happens to be my mother-in-law to publish my book, and she loved the book and people around her loved the book and she was excited to take it on. And I can't get too much into the details of self-publishing because, well, I didn't self-publish really. I think she kind of agrees that it's kind of like a hybrid, like with an indie publishing company. It's not self-publishing, but it's not one of the top three or whatever now. Anyways, she's doing things right. She reminds me a lot of, her company reminds me a lot of like what I'm trying to do within the fashion industry. But for book publishing, just doing the right thing. So I don't have a lot of information there, but I have a lot of thoughts about the creative industries, marketing, reliance on stuff. I had a conversation recently with somebody who was struggling with the creative side of her industries, and we're all kind of feeling this, I don't know if it's like, I don't know what it is, but there's just like this regression in the fashion industry, and we're all kind of feeling it. And we're talking about, yeah, like it's hard. You have to like put in a lot of work, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're gonna get a lot of return. There's only a few things that are within your control, and outside of that, it's really entirely out of your control. You can be an amazing model. You can be an amazing author with an amazing book. You can have amazing skills and do everything right and still not have things work in your favor. And that's just the way that the creative industry is. So that's why, you know, I never got invested in this launch of this book. And if you've been following me for a while, you know, like you've heard me talk about Transitus and how I was pretty much like giving up on it and didn't feel too enthused about it. And that still may be the case too, but I'm kind of excited about the fact that it exists and that people are going to have it in their hands once their print copies arrive. And Some people may already be reading it on the EPUB side of things, and that's cool. I'm not one to ever like really show a ton of excitement, and I don't think I feel a ton of excitement, but it's cool. But my point with this direction in the conversation is that getting invested or overly invested in any one book launch is not the end goal. Like, that's the dream, obviously. Like, that's what we are, like, that's what our society highlights as far as like what a successful author looks like J.K. Rowling, you know, whoever like wrote their first book and hit it big or whatever. That's really not the reality for 99.9, pulling that number out of my butt, but most authors don't see that reality. Most working authors, like most people who make a living writing, that is not the case for them. Like, the long game is building a fan base for your particular genre, your style, your writing, your books, your worlds, and building that fan base and writing consistently and just like not necessarily needing to be mass market, like publish 3 books every year, but you know, consistently putting books out there until it gets to a critical mass and all of those books combined and the following that you've built over the years would then eventually sustain an income, like a career as an author. That's kind of how I see like the end goal. And for me, I'm not even like shooting for that because I have my business and that's a lot of work that I can't really mentally commit to, but in theory, I'm slowly working in that direction, a little bit at a time. And I know that that's what, you know, it would be to make an income off of this. So I'm going to turn around because it's windy over there. So like, yeah, the realities of launching your first book, like keep it light. Don't get your, like all your hopes and dreams. Don't put it all in one basket. Don't get too emotionally invested because what I keep hearing is like, this is a really depressing time for authors because when they launch their first book and they don't see like sales and they don't see it like immediately blow up or whatever it is, whatever expectation that they had, when that doesn't happen, it's like an emotional roller coaster. I have an emotional roller coaster going on for other reasons right now, but it's not for that. I'm actually like, oh cool, like you bought my book, that's awesome. My podcast friend Keith McNally on How to Write a Novel podcast did a little shout out for me and read one of the blurbs that I had in my newsletter on his podcast. Oh, sorry, the wind. I'm trying to protect the mic. But I was like, that's so cool. Like, thank you. I didn't expect that. I don't expect anyone to like buy it. So when that one person buys the book, I'm like, oh wow, that's really cool. And I know that for this particular book to do really well, it would need to get a lot of exposure and people would need to like it. So that's kind of up in the air. Like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, people have to like it, share it, talk about it, review it. Like that has to kind of snowball for it to go beyond my own personal circles. Windy spot. I'm going against the wind now. I was walking the other way. I guess I was walking with it. I thought it would be okay. Let's see. It's sunny. It rained like for 2 days straight. I don't think I've ever seen that much rain in Maine before, but it rained for 2 days straight. And I was like, wow, it's still raining. Wow, it's still raining. By the end of yesterday, I was like, wow, okay. And then it finally like was like kind of drizzling, but then it was super windy. And I went for a walk with my husband. And he just had knee surgery. We're both like just kind of walking, and this wind, and yeah, so the wind is continuing, but it's a clear sky. That's nice. All right, so marketing the book. Right now it's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. Both for EPUB and print for both of those links. It's on Smashwords. I don't remember the name, but it's on a bunch of all of the main platforms, all of the like littler ones, and it's available. So if you haven't ever subscribed for my newsletter, after all these years, you did not get the announcement when it happened. And I apologize because I wasn't ready for the recording the podcast, but now you're getting the information. If you subscribe to my mailing list, which is linked in my podcast episode description, you can get the info there. I'll probably link just like the Amazon link too from the podcast. So you can click on that, take a look. I'll add the Barnes & Noble, and you can dig around, find the book and buy it. Whether it's physical, the cover. Okay, the cover is really cool. For now, my Instagram is not private, so you can actually look at my Instagram and see the cover, or you can just click the link and you'll see the cover. It's a cool cover, and I know that I talked about my cover journey on these episodes. It was a journey, but I really like my cover. Yeah, it's a good cover. So, I was thinking about reading the back of the book blurb, actually. Before I get into like what I'm doing for marketing, because I have thoughts, my process for that. So like with how like low key invested I've been with this book, I spent some hours on my marketing plan, but nothing like I could go all in on something and spend like hours and hours and hours and days and days. And that's not what I did. So I'll share those thoughts. But for now, I'm going to read the back of the book. All right. I'm not like an audio reader. I know I've got this podcast and I talk and I say things. I say a lot. I'm not like, okay, I'm underselling myself, but I don't like reading out loud my own work unless I'm alone. Regardless, I am going to read it. It's 2250. Ice caps have melted. The world is under one unifying government, and humans have a genetic equal, Homo transitus. Forced into exile for their differences, transitus families have only one place to live considered safe, the sweltering community of an East Antarctic island. Here, transitus kids train for a life of living in the ocean, because one day, their lungs will no longer breathe air. For 19-year-old Crimsey Enosh, this time has come. When his little sister, Elpida, goes missing, Crimsey has only 24 hours to rescue her before his lungs change. Lamia Karuli, the island's president, also feels time running out for reasons kept closely guarded. Decades deep in illegal genetic experiments, her actions endanger the very existence of transitus society under her rule and transitus kind. Searching for his sister, Crimsey stands against a plot that threatens to destroy life on the island for both humans and transitus. As his transition looms, reality hits. saving Elpida before his body betrays him may not be possible. Soon he'll have to take that first shocking breath of ocean and accept what comes next. Even just reading that, I was kind of like holding my breath a little, so I got breathless. That blurb, it's a little long, I think. Like most, it's in the realm of what blurbs are normally, but that blurb took so much work, so much back and forth. I was really happy with it many times, and I was told, nope, this doesn't work. Change this way. And I almost had a fight with someone. I was like, stop it. But I think it works. And there was like one last minute change. I was like, I hate this, the way that it's worded right here. I'm just going to add these two words just to clarify. And they were like, all right, that's fine. So I'm happy with it. That's the back of the book. And the back of the book part of the cover looks pretty cool too, I would have to say. So yeah, like the back of the book blurb had a lot of work to put into it, because that's, I'm like, I'm hoping that does some of the selling for me. You know, if you do it right, if you don't be lazy about it, like if you put enough effort and work into it, like you would to your novel, that is necessary, and get multiple opinions, and like you've got to feel good about it too, right? So marketing this book, I wasn't going to do too much, and I'm kind of doing more than I thought I would. But I mean, over the years, I've been like making notes about like who I would reach out to and share it with. I've got like this school community that I graduated from with my husband. That's where we met. And I shared it with them, the English teacher there. He bought it right away. I was like, oh. So, I mean, if he likes it, that would be like, that's like exposure potentially to a whole community of people and students and whatnot. And the newsletter. So with the newsletter, I've been saying this all the time on the podcast that I'm only going to send like an announcement when the book is published, which kind of is what I'm doing, but I've created a mini drip campaign. So like you'll get 3 emails, I think maybe 4, about the book, just to share a little bit more like backstory and whatnot. Lisa, my mother-in-law, the publisher, she was encouraging me to do more of a drip campaign and like utilize the mailing list, even though there's only a few people, there's only a few of you on there. But I also, so I came up with that separately. And then on top of that, to get more people on the newsletter, when I announced on my social media, I said that I was going to do a giveaway, which I'm doing. And for anyone that subscribes to the list and I would choose a winner from the list of subscribers today, actually. So sorry you guys missed it. I feel terrible. I was like, what can I do for my listeners? You guys have had the chance to subscribe to my newsletter. I'm sorry. If you haven't by now, then that's on you. And my IG is right there. That's what I had the capacity for. My life is a lot, especially right now. And that's what I did. I might do more giveaways in the future. So I'm also thinking about connecting with some local bookstores, because the community here in Maine is like really close-knit. It's very community-minded. And I think that just being a resident of Maine, like being a resident of this small town, might be appealing for some small bookstores, indie bookstores, and, you know, the stores that are local here. They might be interested in the book simply because I'm a local. And that might be cool. So I might do something like that. Apparently, it's like a hit or miss on whether or not that's going to get you any exposure or not. And I'm thinking I might, if I pursued that, I would maybe have to front them all the books. And if they sell, they sell. If they don't, like, I just have all these books. So I don't know how that works. I haven't really pursued that idea fully yet. That's down the road. But reaching out to my community, my networks, posting to social media, posting Instagram, TikTok, and then the newsletter and Facebook, obviously. Sharing, my family's been sharing it. That's sweet. And they've been getting people to, like, take a look at it and stuff and getting people to buy the book. And, yeah, so with the newsletter, it was a lot of setup. It was a lot of, like, technical stuff, which I won't get into because it's MailChimp, and I was kind of getting around having to pay for a subscription. But basically, I have the announcement. You know, this is Transitus. Here's a little blurb. I was a little bit lazy with that email because I was like, the blurb that was read on Keith McNally's episode doing a shout out for me was the same, like, words that I used for a video for TikTok. He thought it was the back of the book blurb, and it wasn't. And I cringed when he read it out loud because it didn't flow. I was like, yeah, I was a bit lazy using that. But, you know, if you click the link, you see the book blurb, and that's what's supposed to sell the book. So, like, what else could I add to this newsletter? So I did that, and then like, just randomly thought, you know, people like knowing what they're getting into, so maybe I do a pros and cons list. So I was like, okay, you would like this book if, and then I listed out a couple things. And then I was like, you would not like this book if, and then I listed a couple other things. And I feel like doing that is more likely to make people be more interested in it because it says what it's not as well as what it is. My biggest selling point in my mind is that it's my first book. It's joining an author on a journey, on their journey for their career, the start of their career. Like, hey, this is ground level authorship. If you want to be a fan from day one, this is the time. This is the time to buy the book. And then maybe book five that I write is going to be like the one that goes big. Everyone's going to be like, wow, this author is so great. And then you guys with Transitus on your bookshelves from 2024 will be like, yeah, I knew that person like when they first started. Their book was okay, but now they're really good, you know? And I could be very well, like, significantly underselling my first book. And if so, I'm sorry to myself. Maybe it makes it more intriguing. Maybe you're like, huh, okay, this honesty thing might work for me. Like, what's so terrible about this book? If she put all this work, all these years of crafting and learning, what's so bad about it? Then you read it out of just curiosity. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, so that there's the announcement for the books that was on the newsletter. And then following that, I don't remember, there was like three emails. One of them was after I did some research on like how to announce a novel, like a debut novel or whatever, like what to do. And like, there's pointers online. There's so many like resources online. Just Google how to market a book and you'll come up with ideas. And it doesn't have to be exactly verbatim what they say. You can just read what's on the internet, scan for ideas, and then like the ideas will start to come. That's what happened for me. So for me, I was thinking, you know, there's something that prompted the thought of putting my book on the same level as another really like a bestseller book. And I was like, well, I don't feel that way about this book. I don't think that it is on that same level. But I really enjoyed the journey that I discovered of TJ Klune. So I've probably mentioned him before on these episodes. So with TJ Klune, the first book that I read was The House in the Cerulean Sea by TJ Klune. And I read that and I was like, wow, this is a great book. And it was like one of my favorite books. Still like one of my favorite books. I bought it after reading it. And then I was like, I'm always curious, what else has this author written? Like, if I'm really into a book, I'm like, this is a great book, I want to know more about the author, I go back and read more of their books. So I read, what was the other one? Beneath the Whispering Door. And that one was really good. I was like, oh, wow, like I've found a gem, because sometimes I read another book from the author and then I'm like, this is not good. So then I read more of the books and I realized I was going back in time. So I realized that the more books that I read, the older it was. So I read like the newest first, the oldest last. And those two books were the only ones I liked. The other ones, they were okay. There was one series that was just really, really bad. And apparently he's still writing and like promoting it, which I guess it has a fan base, but it was so, so bad. I had to skip entire like chapters to get through it. But my point is that I could see the writing process improve with time for him. And I thought that was really cool. I was like, wow, like he came from this and got to this. And I think that's awesome. And so in my newsletter, I basically compared myself to that journey. So starting with the first book, you know, like it's not going to be the best book, but you're joining an author at the beginning of their career, like I said. So I found a way to put myself and my book on the same level as a best-selling author. And I think some people actually liked reading that. People are liking the newsletters, I guess. And I only have those three of them. And then after that, it's just, you know, on to the next book, pretty much. So it's a drip campaign. When you subscribe, it'll send those three emails. So it's not like actively demanding my attention. So I've got it set up passive, and eventually I'm going to have to update it. If it's like 2025, 2026, like I'm going to change the drip campaign when somebody subscribes, because it's no longer going to be relevant necessarily. Maybe I'll be promoting the other book. So those are the big things. That's all I did. And this podcast episode is my final piece that I'm sorry I was so late on, but really not that late, because it's been like just a week, like a week and a half, I think, since I officially posted to Instagram. So not that bad, but I do plan on continuing sharing this journey. And maybe I'll start a new season, because I feel like last time I started a new season, it was like, I don't know, it was a good breaking point. Maybe a little premature, but, you know, I have this book out there now, and I keep forgetting my intro, so maybe I do a new intro and a new season and continue with updates on The Last Curate. I'm sure I'll have more to say on The Last Curate soon. Right now I have a few things to say, but mostly I'm just kind of stuck and kind of depressed for other reasons. And like depressed because I'm stuck too, I guess. It's contributing to my overall sadness. We'll just say that. But going on walks is good. I've been trying to get back to that every day, and helps with depression. So I think I'll update you all on how that journey is going later. But like, yeah, I've been stuck, and I just need to get through it. I just need to write this freaking book and then like actually start editing it and not restart again. Like, don't start from scratch again. But I have to keep the excitement, like when I'm writing. So when I'm losing the excitement, that's when I know something isn't right. And then I just put all this pressure on maintaining this level of excitement while I'm writing. And then I take in so much information and feedback from other people that it starts to change the way that I write. I don't know if that's a good thing. And I just need to like be secure in who I am and what kind of writer I am and what my style is. Like, I don't think I am secure yet. And so I almost feel like this is like first book syndrome maybe with this second book, because I'm putting so much pressure on it. Whereas with Transitus, I'm like, yeah, there's a book out. That's cool. So I don't know. We'll see. So hopefully if you buy the book Transitus and you like it, please do me a favor and review it on whatever platform you bought it on, because that's the big thing for authors. And then keep following my journey. Yeah. Thanks for joining. Thanks if you buy the book. It's like $5 as an EPUB. It's $20 as a physical book. And yeah, that's it for now.